The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind. Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing. Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hopefully you will look caught at the beginning of Mass that today is a special Sunday. It's Gaudete Sunday or Laetare Sunday, meaning rejoice, a Sunday full of joy. And strictly speaking, we should be wearing rose-colored vestments this morning, but we don't have a rose-colored vestment, so we have to put up with this one. With this one here. So it's a Sunday full of joy, and I'll go back and read again in a couple of minutes a little bit from the first reading, because it's absolutely beautiful. And I'm a great believer in the fact that how you get out of bed in the morning determines the whole day, really. You know, you can get up, oh, it's this morning, or kind of the attitude, oh, good God, or this morning, or good morning, God, and get out of bed full of joy. A woman was having difficulty in getting her son out of bed one morning, and so she shouted up to him, It's time to get up. He said, I don't want to get up. She said, You have to get up. He said, Why? Well, she says, Your breakfast is on the table. Ready. It's the third Sunday of Advent, and you've got two masses to celebrate. Oh, yeah, you meet priests like that. None here, if I may say so. Now, I can just borrow the book for one little minute and just go back, and then we'll try and do something Don't read the book. I'll do it for you. Just very quickly. I'm not trying to improve on our reader, so not trying to improve on you, Charles. But it's the reading from Isaiah. Just a couple of lines. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steppe will rejoice and bloom. And down a little bit further, I like this line. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. A lot of fear around today. Here is your God. He comes to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be open, the lame will walk, the deaf hear, and so on. And that leads me into just talking about something quite important this morning for a few moments. It's difficult, but I'll have a go. There's two kinds of justice in the world. There's retributive justice, and there is restorative justice. And most of us, all our lives, have been into retributive justice. We like to see people punished when they do bad things. Now, I'm not saying that people who do evil things should not be punished in some ways, but we're totally into retributive justice. And that's where John the Baptist was, to a large extent. And that's why Jesus, in part of the gospel today, blessed are those who do not take offense in me. So there's a change. Retributive justice is probably needed in the early part of life, because some of us have got to learn the hard way. So any of you who are parents, you know that if your children are not doing what they're told or really being naughty, you might, you know, a little punishment doesn't do any harm. Like, for example, no television for a whole year. I mean, that would really make them sit up and think. But the ultimate aim is to move past that. You can lock people up in prison for years, and when they get out, very often they just go back to the way of crime again. If you have a son or a daughter who's addicted to drugs, and you shout at them and scream at them and so on, and they come and say, oh, well, I won't do it again. And you know in your heart that they will. If you ever have lived with somebody who's an alcoholic, you know how true that is. They can make promise and promise and promise, and yet they don't. It doesn't improve them. Now, we move on to Jesus. And Jesus was totally into restorative justice. What do we mean by that? Jesus always worked to bring the good out of people rather than condemn them. Jesus was what we call a non-dual thinker. He wasn't dualistic, either or, but he was both and when he looked at people. And so somebody is leading a bad life. Evil brings its own punishment. You know that. You know that. If you talk to an addict, whatever that person is addicted to, whether it is drugs or alcohol, ultimately that person suffers. They're not a happy person. And when they come to life and get over that, they suddenly have a whole new attitude and a whole new outlook on life. And Jesus is into restorative justice. I am, for a number of years before coming here, I worked as a police chaplain. And the chief of police in Manchester, where I worked, I was chaplain to the Manchester police. He was a very devout Catholic. And so he introduced the whole system of restorative justice. And nothing helps a young person more. For example, a young person breaks into somebody's home, or attacks some vulnerable person, an old person, or attacks somebody on the street. Nothing helps that person more than if you can get them to go and meet their victim, and sit down and talk to them, and just see the consequences of what they have done. The consequences. Instead of locking them up for 6 months or sending them to some kind of a remand centre. It worked. Believe me, it worked. And that's the same way with Jesus. Just to try and bring it to some kind of a conclusion. Whether you accept it or not, or believe it or not, most of us, all our life, have been into retributive justice. Because we believe if we are not good and we are bad, we're going to end up in hell, right? That's what we've been kind of taught and what we have totally accepted. And a very interesting statistic, which I think I told you before, but it's worth repeating, was telling somebody this morning and his eyes opened, he couldn't believe it. They did, I don't know, call it a poll or a research among different religious denominations, whether they approved of torture or not. And the highest approval for torture was among Catholics. Would you like to know why? Why? For the simple reason, if you believe in God, who will torture somebody for all eternity in hell, why wouldn't you believe in torture? It makes sense, doesn't it? If you think about it. And that's the kind of God that some people still to this day believe in. Where does love go? God's love never changes for you. Even when you sin, God still loves you. Absolutely. Now that's not carte blanche to go and sin. So don't misinterpret that. It's not. Believe me, it's not carte blanche to go and sin. But God still loves you even in your sin. And his ultimate aim is to restore you to the person that he sees in you. Because when he looks at you, he sees God in you. And he sees the image of God in you. And he wants to restore you to the best you can be. That's always the aim of God and the aim of Jesus. Now, when you look at God in this way, doesn't that give you great hope and great joy? And that comes through in the first reading this morning and in the gospel and in the letter of St. James, you know, that we are made in love for love. And when we follow that, we're going to be full of joy. Joy is going to have a whole new meaning in our lives. When I was coming over to the church, I met somebody coming from Mass. And I said to them, "How are you?" And they said, "Fine." And I thought, there's not much joy there. Fine, F-I-N-E, fine, F, fed up, I, introverted, N, neurotic, E, exhausted. So, I didn't say it to her, but I meant to say, "And you know what, you look it." I don't mean you, but you look grand. Yeah, but I often think when if somebody came into a normal Catholic church. Well, it's a bit different here, I have to say, as a compliment to you. But if you were to go into a church in Ireland, and especially when the priest is trying to say a few words on the gospel, you'd think, why the hell are they here? Because what you get is... absolutely fine. No joy. And it's lovely to meet somebody full of joy. And you think, from now on, God loves me absolutely as I am. And go out. And that's what Jesus said. Go and tell them what you see. You're going to change more people by how you are rather than what you say. Right? By how you are. You know, if you come in and you see a miserable priest, are you going to be impressed? Don't really want to be here, kind of thing. You know, have a smile, have a bit of joy. Life is not that bad, if you think about it. It has its challenges, but wouldn't life be very boring if it had no challenges? There are challenges. I never have any problems in life, never. I have challenges, different way of looking at things. Oh, I'm full of problems. No, I have challenges. And challenges always bring something new out of you. Doesn't take away your joy. So there you are. Shake yourself up. Be joyful. And you will impress more people. They'll think, oh, she has something I'd like to have. And then you can tell them what you have. So let's stand now and